Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my new series, Parrish. My character, Gray Parrish, was a getaway driver.
I'm retired from life. You know that.
He's in a world over his head.
Tell me about this driver job.
And he's asked to start to figure things out.
I did what you told me to.
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC Plus.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hi, everybody. It's me, Alec Mappa, and welcome back to another episode of Squirrel Friends, the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast. It's a miracle. I got it done right. Do you know what's horrible? Like, I could do a podcast for a year, and I still struggle through the beginning. I think it's because I'm a little nervous, or at least I want to get it right. Now, listen, it's just me today. This is a special bonus mini episode, a little treat, a little extra treat, if you will. Lonnie is in Las Vegas. Don't worry, she'll be back before you know it. She is working nonstop. And so it's just me today, but we're going to talk about, on the show today, the second eliminated contestant from RuPaul's Secret Celebrity Drag Race. She's here to tell it to our hearts. I know you know who I'm talking about. It's Taylor Dayne. I am a huge fan of Taylor Dayne. You have no idea. And I'm so excited to talk about Secret Celebrity Drag Race and talk to her about her experience. And you know what? I'm not going to talk about talking to her anymore because she's here. Will you please welcome to the program Electra Owl, better known as Taylor Dayne.
Woo! Hi!
Welcome. We just worked together on the Project Angel Food. And a fundraiser, you, me, and Lonnie, and you brought the house down. You really do. One of the things I noticed during the show is how much of a fan RuPaul is of your voice, as we all are. Was that a previous relationship that you two had?
We've known each other the last, and more than that, we've had a lovely friendship the last 30 years. Yeah.
Wow.
When you see RuPaul watching me sing,
That's
when you're watching him. As such an incredible musicologist, he's like nothing short of like where Questlove is. Like they're so fascinated with the music, the background, the build, the how things are created. Like he's very, very, you know, brilliant mind. So yeah,
absolutely.
Watching the artistry,
you do have a one of a kind voice, and I have such great memories. I remember you were my wingman one night, unknowingly. One night at the Tunnel Club in New York, there was a boy that I liked. And I was there for a fundraiser or something, but it was a lot of straight people. But Prove Your Love came on.
Ooh.
And Prove Your Love. Well, you know the song. You sang it. And
that was pretty good.
The gay boy across the room started bopping to it. And you were one of those singers. You know, this was still, at that time, it wasn't like it is today with all the social media and everything, but as gay people, if we knew a singer even slightly appreciated us, we were like, we're yours forever, now and forever. And I saw the other gay boy at this fundraiser bopping to that, and we danced together, like, to Prove Your Love, and it was our bonding moment, and we're like, oh my God, I love her so much.
Oh, wow.
Was that kind of fandom from our community something you were aware of immediately?
I'm not going to say immediately because there's such a, you know, that kind of overnight stardom there's a whole mind state to that and what happens.
Right.
But I will say the minute, you know, you're going city to city and I'm going from St. Louis and then I'm going into London and then I'm in, you know, Cambridge to, you know, Paris, you're getting exposed to drag queens, to trans, you know, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And when I started going to these back clubs because I wanted to be impressed.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing ever inspired me or really took me out of it until I went to some of these drag clubs and wow.
And I bet people really showed you love back then and now. I mean, just like
It's her.
It was incredible. And more than that, you know, I just felt so safe there.
Yes.
So comfortable. And these were smaller, darker, you know, smaller rooms. And I watched, you know, I've had the privilege over the last 35 years watching this community grow, you know, from right. Pride to white parties to families to, you know, Sundays, you know, in the park to.
Yeah.
Quite enormous. Yeah.
Wow. And so you mentioned earlier it was an overnight thing for you.
Well,
was it really
like stardom? Yeah. Oh, it was huge.
Wow. How did you handle it?
I don't know. Well, at some points and then sometimes not so well. I mean,
right.
I really blew up. What Tell It to My Heart was released in Europe before it was released here. So I blew up throughout Europe. So paparazzi and all that was a huge thing there.
Right.
Not exist here in the late 80s and things like that. It didn't. It was really Europe.
Right.
And running from, you know, venue to venue or hotel and coming out. And within a year's time, I was on the Michael, you know, I was opening up for Michael on the Bad Tour.
Oh,
Prince,
amazing.
Saw all that. That's all was based on the success of Tell It to My Heart.
Oh, my gosh. So it was really kind of like, here you go. You're a success. Swim in the deep end of the pool.
Oh, yeah. You were thrown right into the Coliseum, Lion's Den.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know,
it didn't matter. You know, that was, you know, that was the strength of, it was just, that's how it is. And next thing you know, you're just in a plane every day going to three countries over the course of 4 days. When you're in Europe, it's easy to do. Or
yes.
And I was huge in Germany the year before. So I won the Berlin of, you know, Female Artist of the Year in 1988. And the year before that, in 87, it was Tina Turner. That's how phenom it went. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you have one of those great big voices, and we all love a big voice. And you know, you were had to cover yourself up for this secret celebrity drag race. And but the minute you came out, you still had your stage presence. You were still very much the essence of who you are as a performer, because I have seen you perform live. What was it like to perform in front of RuPaul?
You know what? It was a little bit daunting, but it's not that. It's like coming out not doing you. You're in a character, and you know, and now I'm in. He goes, honey, how do you feel in those heels? I go, not well. These aren't made for my foot, boo. And he's like, I know, girl. I go, and this corset is a BIT. And he goes, yep. I know. I mean, I learned so much. And yet I was just like, thank God for the drag queens and not me. Hell
right.
No. Well, I've always said they've done me better than I've ever done myself.
I was about to ask, have you had the pleasure of going into a club and seeing a queen?
Many, many, many.
Yeah.
This is where it comes down to really drag queens for me. Like, you know, really working with them, seeing them from the Pyramid Club to the Saint.
Pyramid. To, oh, the Saint.
People will never understand.
Yeah.
The Paradise Garage, where I said, this is the music I want to make.
Yeah.
This is it, you know, and then turning it out would tell it to my heart. But
I remember the Saint. Oh my God.
Girl, you couldn't get me off the damn floor.
I was, okay, this is my.
But that's not a gay club.
Yeah.
You can't even, okay.
It's not even there anymore.
There it was.
It was like for those of you squirrel friends out there, there was a club in New York City on 2nd Avenue called the Saint, and it had a gigantic planetarium inside where the sky changed. And then you could walk up in the catwalks around the thing. And so I was with a friend who had a bump of and we would just see each other every half hour. And then we would walk around our own. And it was a gay night. And so I was watching all the shenanigans upstairs. And finally we said to each other, let's go. Are you ready to go? And I'm like, yeah. We went out. It was like 11 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, that was the same. You didn't get there till 4.
Yeah.
You left that part out.
But
that's the same with Paradise's Garage.
Yeah.
I didn't get there till 3, 4.
Oh, my God.
But that music.
Gosh.
And, you know, this is what people are like, well, what do you think of the gay? I was like, I didn't think about it. It was the streets. Like, this is New York. Like, then you go out and then you're just a hooker on the street looking disheveled and disgusting.
Right.
Sweating and looking, feeling like a glam princess when you first enter. I go, that is the music. That is the tribalness of it. There is this moment. And, you know, viva la guerre.
Good times. I mean, good times. It is like when you said Pyramid Club, I used to work at Boy Bar on St. Mark's Place. Were you a city girl? Were you of the?
Yes and no. By that time, yes.
Yeah.
By that time, yes. I mean, I grew up in, I was born in New York City, raised a little bit in the Bronx and then Long Island. And then, of course, recording and everything. By then, you know, just every club in the city was just accessible. My older brother was already working at Studio 54 designing lights there.
Oh, amazing.
And my other brother was just VJs were just breaking at Private Eyes.
Yeah, you were in heavy rotation on VH1 and MTV and everything.
That wasn't until the late 80s. You're talking early 80s.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, just I had a roommate who worked at the Palladium and the Mike Todd room. And gosh, it's like whenever I come back to New York, I'm like, there used to be a nightclub where that NYU dorm used to be. Uh-huh. And they're like, okay, Grandpa, just move along. What made you want to do the show apart from your friendship with RuPaul?
I know, Ru, just like, you know, it's just, listen, I saw not the first season. It's not like, there was the one season they did of Celebrity Drag Race, you know, with Vanessa Williams. Mm-hmm. And I really, I was like, this seems so friendly, so beautiful, so not very competitive, but also, you know, like really trying to bring, you know, Mid-America more and more and more into really understanding and getting exposed to this, you know, putting women in those shoes, putting women in that mental state, you know, mentality of like what it takes. And Vanessa did an amazing job. And so when they said they're taking us to this next level, this is the second season they're going to do of, and they want to turn it into a secret. I was like, oh dear Lord, are we back to what the Masked Singer is? But they go, but you're going to lip sync and you're going to dance and all this shit. And you're and like, I'm like, so you want me to wear a mask, not even sound like me? And then like, okay, got it. Okay, so like, what does that even mean?
Right.
But you know, when you got the best of the best, you got the best of the best. And backstage was the best of the best.
Yeah, tell us about it. You said earlier there were some tricks and tips that the queens did with your makeup. Was there anything new, any new discoveries for you? Like, oh my gosh, that's amazing.
One in particular was I will never glue the hair on a wig to my head again.
Oh,
they just, listen, that's to keep it on when you're doing that kind of theatrics and that kind of heat. Mm-hmm. The other was, just the way we doubled up on certain fishnets, certain things undergarments that were really, even for me, like, I was like, wow, okay, this is really a good trick. Like, this is cool. Minus the padding. Once they started coming out with me, they go, oh girl, third episode, you got to wear this to this. And I was like, you know, it's in the ass and the padding. I was like, everybody else, it was like glee on crack. I was like, I got it. This is going to go to the next level. And everybody's out there with their high heels and killing each other. I understand.
That is fantastic. Well, you know, I saw you just a couple weekends ago and you're in terrific shape. I mean, you look really, really good.
Why are you astonished, boo? We got to keep it together. Keep it together.
I know. Listen, I'm in the same boat. I bring this up because I don't know if you remember. We did a pilot presentation together years ago for Bette Midler. She was going to
there was no way you were part of that.
There was a script where it was you, Jennifer Lewis, and one other actress playing the
harlots.
You
better believe it.
And
Jennifer Rush. That was me and Jennifer, yeah.
Yeah, and I played one of the costume designers on the show, the Filipino costume designers, whose secret desire was to be a harlot. And I remember us being in Hollywood, and Bette Midler had a part in the pilot and sang Leader of the Pack right in front of us, and we were all astonished.
First of all, what you're not telling everybody on this podcast is Bette Midler was doing a pilot called The Harlots, and it was supposed to lead to a TV series. This was obviously, she did it live. Who does a live pilot for network?
Yep.
What you're talking about. Remember when she sang it live and then she fell down at the end, perfect, like the rose dead on the floor, like oh perfect, God. Like, I was just standing there going, what the, and then she yelled at me, somebody here has never been a background singer. And Jennifer Lewis, just the cream, the queens of the queens, like the best.
Oh, it was so crazy. It was so much fun.
I remember you being part of that. Oh my God.
I was. Well, you know what? I was so timid back then. I was very bashful and I was very starstruck. Well, first of all, it was Bette Midler and you and Jennifer. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to try not to knock anything over and just get through this. But it was so much fun. So, I'm a huge, huge fan and I've been following your career forever. So what's next? What's happening?
Well, you know, Project Angel Food, that was a lovely, wasn't that a great, that was just,
oh, it was so great. Yeah.
It was great to see everybody finally
so generous
back.
Of you. We're so grateful that you gave us your time and talent.
Honored. During COVID, I had the honor of, and you know, being able to work, which not everybody was able to do, you know, I mean, I did mass singer for a bunch of months and that just turned into a great project. And I recorded a record during that time with the great, great, great Greg Field. So we have mastered it. We finished it. And I'm looking to, you know, delve into my private dancer, my Nick of Time, you know, this is that beautiful kind of record. It's really focused on the lyric content as well as melody, as well as my voice.
Wow. Well,
I mean, Grammy recipient. So we're going there.
Yeah. The voice is one of a kind. I remember when you came out, the reason, you know, like you say, the rise was so fast is we all were astonished by the voice. Every Beat of My Heart, I Will Always Love You, just so much. It's timeless. It is absolutely timeless. So yeah. where can folks stalk you on the social medias?
Oh, I'm on everything. Real Taylor Dane, IG, TikTok. I just put up one of the RuPaul things from last night, which would be fun. You can see that on TikTok. Just Taylor Dane, D-A-Y-N-E. For any of you, you know, freaks, I still think it is the D-A-N-E. That was a porn star back in the day.
Didn't make it. Why is Taylor Dane on the Robin Bird show? No, it's a different Taylor Dane.
Oh, greatest show ever, right?
Oh, Robin Bird. Well, you know, we could kiki forever, but I know you have a busy, busy
love
schedule.
You.
I want to thank you and say there's so much love for you here at Squirrel Friends. Those of us who are fans, we're your fans for life, and you're so talented, and I'm so glad I had this opportunity to gush all over you and fangirl, and it was lovely to see you on the show. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Thank you so much for joining me on this very special episode of Squirrel Friends. Lonnie and I will both be back Monday for another brand new episode. Until then, remember to tip your queens on social. Not necessarily monetarily, but just show them some love. You know, Lonnie and I do this show because we do love the show. We do love the queens. And also, we want to change the culture of RuPaul's Drag Race fandom. These girls, we know them personally. We know their journeys. We know how much they go through and how many sacrifices they've made in order to get to where they are. So by the time they get to Drag Race, you know, they've endured homophobia, racism, transphobia. If you get to talk to them on social media, show them some love. In the meantime, you could show me love. I see a lot of you joining me on the Instagrams. Thank you. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter. You can find me at Alec Mappa. Easy enough. You can find Lonnie Love on Instagram at Comic Lonnie Love, on Twitter at Lonnie Love. We love to hear from you. We love when you subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. We love when you leave us a review. Leave us a review and tell everybody you've ever met. People at the PTA, people at church, people down at the funeral parlor. I don't know. Wherever you run into people, living or dead, tell them about Squirrel Friends, the official Drag Race podcast. You can listen to Squirrel Friends, the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast, on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. And you can catch new episodes of Secret Celebrity Drag Race Fridays on VH1. There's so much to talk about. We can't wait to see you again next time. Lonnie Love will be back on the program, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You've probably heard a lot about electrified vehicles lately. Well, Toyota has electrified options for every lifestyle. We've got hybrids, no plug needed.
All right, let's go.
But we also have plug-in hybrids, if that's your thing. You can even go 100% electric in the Toyota bZ4X. With so many options for reducing carbon emissions, Toyota is electrified, diversified. Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.